This is the Creating the Future podcast, and I'm your host, Jordan Krause. This episode is sponsored by KMS Realty and Nova Home Loans, your local real estate and home loan experts. To learn more, visit www.kms-rentals.com and www.volpeteam.novahomeloans.com. Today, I'm joined once again by our Chief Innovation Officer, Mr. Claudio Bravo. What's happening?
Hey, thanks for having me again.
Welcome back. The first superhuman math tutor. It's out there now.
Oh, that's right.
Tell us more about it. What is this superhuman math tutor? And also, kind of coupled with that question, you've got some experience working with a company called Synthesis that is really driving this superhuman AI math tutor. Talk to us about all that.
Yeah. So I guess a little backstory maybe is due. Right around the time where I actually came to Tucson Country Day School, I was also starting my own, I shouldn't say my own, but I was starting to do a side gig after school hours where I would teach online games. And it was through this company called Synthesis. And Synthesis is an online platform, but it started at SpaceX. And what I mean by that is the concept of this online gaming platform and learning how to be a super collaborator, as they call it, learning how to collaborate, problem solve, communicate together, started at SpaceX. What ended up happening was they had a school for employees' kids to attend at SpaceX. It was called Ad Astra, this internal school. And part of the curriculum was this idea, Synthesis, of getting kids together to just do some collaborative tasks, and particularly online games, where they learn how to be better communicators and problem solvers and ultimately super collaborators. Really building those soft skills or those skills that we know are necessary, right? So from there, the person who was running that program at SpaceX decided this is worth, you know, providing to the masses. It should be accessible to whoever, whichever kid in the world wants to become a better collaborator and problem solver. And so he brought on a guy who actually had a part in building the initial platform for Class Dojo. And so he and this gentleman ended up building this platform where they have facilitators, online facilitators, adults in the room that are coaching kids and how to play games together, and how to communicate better and how to strategize and how to be overall better at the things that they love to do, which is first and foremost playing games, right? But they don't realize that they're learning these really valuable skills of communicating with each other and problem solving with each other. And taking on these challenges with limited guidance was the big thing, is that we need to take kids seriously. We need to give them an opportunity to fail, to figure things out on their own. We're there to poke and prod and question and test their assumptions over and over. And in the last 2 years that I've been with them, I've seen the outcomes that it generates to be amazing. The growth that some of these students have shown and the ability for them to effectively communicate and show leadership over that time has just been amazing. And it really, really works.
It's really smart because the gaming industry has figured out how the human brain, I think, works much better than the education industry, ironically.
Absolutely.
The gaming industry has capitalized on our innate desire to have the right levels of autonomy, to have clear purpose and objectives in our life, whether that's, you know, whatever that might be. But in the context of gaming, what's the objective of the game? And then we all have this desire to want to master things that
that's we right.
get a hold of. And so gaming has done that really well. So I think that's really smart of Synthesis to use gaming as a means to build these essential skills of collaboration and communication.
And so, yeah, I mean, that's something that they, you know, felt like wasn't being taught in schools, right? And with that, in turn, they also realized that a lot of the supports that were happening in schools weren't being met, right? When it comes to something like math, right? How are kids getting the supports that they need to reach mastery or reach the competency level for them to be, first and foremost, feel like they're capable of being a math thinker, a math capable student? And so what they ended up doing was another branch of their program is now this synthesis tutor, which is different than a lot of the kind of chat bots that you're seeing right now when it comes to tutoring, online tutors and the AIs that they're using. And the reason I say that is because they're developing it from a different perspective. They're developing it from the perspective of, let's provide context, let's provide storylines, let's provide engagement for the students to be math curious, to be math excited. And in addition to that, we'll provide feedback and we'll provide guidance through this AI machine that we're developing that will lead to a better understanding of concepts, of math concepts. And so this new branch of synthesis is really fascinating, and it's been really neat to kind of see how they developed it, and also to be a part of that development and to be kind of invited into what that looks like.
Yeah, so tell us more about that. We've got some second graders who have had the chance to engage with this AI math tutor. How did that go, and what could a potential partnership look like between a quote-unquote brick-and-mortar school like Tucson Country Day School? What could that become with a company like Synthesis?
Yeah, so the person who's leading this math tutor or this AI tutor at Synthesis, he is a wonderful math professor and actually absolutely excited about building math curious students and you know, students who are excited about math and very much aligned to how our approach here at Tucson Country Day School of math is figure outable, right? Math is a place for everybody to engage in. And so when they reached out to some of the educators or the coaches that are part of the other branch of Synthesis, I absolutely, you know, took the bait and reached out to him. And I said, hey, you know, tell me what you're working on and how I can help. What we ended up deciding was, let's try as kind of an experiment what it would be like for students in a school setting to engage with the lessons, the Synthesis tutor lessons. But in addition to that, add another layer where they're continuing to collaborate and problem solve on tasks that we know are going to matter in their development of skills such as collaboration, problem solving, communication. And so he and I worked together on developing four different tasks for four different lessons. And the outcomes were wonderful. You know, after each session, after each lesson that the students got to engage with online, they were so excited about, you know, being able to relay or transfer that that lesson into the collaborative task. And so it made it that much more engaging. It made it that much more fun overall to be playing with math. And that's what they saw it as, is that they were just playing with math. But in reality, we were setting them up to learn these deep concepts and apply some collaborative tasks to those lessons and concepts.
So let's break that down a little bit. What does that look like? So second grade class, they're on their Chromebooks, right?
Yep.
They're working through some tasks individually with a group. Let's kind of get down to the specifics of what this actually looks like.
Yeah, I think that's important because, you know, that what you just described is kind of your typical expectation is that a student would go on and complete some tasks online on their own and whatnot. And that's typically what ends up happening for like ST Math right now and even IXL, the things that we currently use.
The OG Khan Academy back 15 years ago. That's been around for a while.
Exactly.
So that's been around for a while. How's this different?
This is different because a student is getting online, they're engaging in a lesson where the student is working through a narrative about a concept, a math concept, right? And they're working with this tutor, and the tutor's giving them this almost a storyline sometimes, right? One of the lessons was about a caveman named Grok and how he decided to be more efficient at counting the woolly mammoths that he was seeing out in the fields, right? And so the storyline catches them, hooks them, and as they're working through the storyline, the tutor is presenting some problems or some ideas for them to grapple with, right? How does he become more efficient at counting? And that's where they're getting some feedback about the concept.
And the tutor is the AI. There's not another human on the other side of the computer, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So the way we set it up was, okay, every student would be working on the same lesson. Once they've completed that lesson, we'll do a quick debrief. What did you like about the lesson? What part of the lesson required a little bit of brain power for you to think about and scratch your head, right? And in addition to that, what do you think the lesson was actually trying to teach you? So we take those questions, that discussion, and launch into this collaborative task, right? And so the collaborative task might be, I have this many counters for your group. With these counters, let's create different ways of counting the total. We have 9 total counters. What are the different ways in that we can, you know, arrange these counters so that there's different groups, different size groups, but the total is always going to be 9. We know this, but it's not always just going to be 5 + 4 = 9. It might be 3 + 3 + 3 = 9. And so now we're getting into some foundational skills regarding multiplication, right? Repeated addition. And so we're building these skills and these concepts while they're playing around and doing these collaborative challenges, these tasks that we have for them, where they're student facing. They're no longer on the lesson. They've closed the computer. Now it's time to get together and work on a task together. And each task was different. Each task was applying what the lesson was referring to, the concept that they were referring to, and each one was collaborative. Each one required them to work together to solve together.
How does this change the teacher experience? Because traditionally teachers are behind the scenes prepping lessons. They've got like a textbook or they've got this curriculum and they're organizing it and getting ready to present it to their students. This seems very different. Talk about the teacher experience with this AI tutor.
Yeah, from my perspective, you know, I was the teacher during these experimental lessons, right? And we spent probably 35 minutes on average together during each of these 4 lessons. And so for me, it was, of course, monitoring that, you know, they're working through those lessons, that if they had any questions while they were on the lesson for 15, 20 minutes that they were working through the lesson, being able to support and answer. But for the most part, you know, they understood what they needed to do. It was very much about my prep and my ability to question them and poke and prod them as they're working together on these tasks, right? Oh, what do you mean by that? What do you mean you can separate these 9 counters into 3 different groups? Oh, okay. Can you think of something, another way to do that? Is that the only way to do that? Have each of you had an opportunity to share your ideas? And so you're very much facilitating the experience of working together, communicating your ideas, communicating them effectively, right? And so you become very much the guide in their, you know, problem solving and collaboration tasks.
So that's very different than, all right, kids, watch me do this. Mm-hmm. Here's the steps. Here's the procedure. Here's the algorithm. Okay, now you do it.
That's right.
You practice, and I'm going to come and make sure that you're doing it the way that I showed you. This is very different. And why is that important? Why is that beneficial? Why is this an approach that school should take seriously?
I think the first thing that comes to my mind is that, you know, this is learning. Learning is a social thing. Learning is an experiential thing. It's not passively sitting and receiving. We learn by doing, right? And so as a facilitator, you are now required to make sure they're put into a situation where they're experiencing those things. They're experiencing what it means to be an efficient counter, right? Which then leads to being a fluent multiplier, right? And that just builds on it, rather than expecting the student to just sit back and retain it because I've told you so, right? Now it's, I'm giving you an opportunity to experience this and talk through this and share whatever misconceptions you might have or assumptions that need to be tested, so that I'm there to guide you and support you in that discovery of learning.
This makes me think about society over the last 125, 130, 140 years. The Industrial Revolution was all about mass production and mass producing things efficiently. And so we've reorganized society and naturally curious people to operate like code on a computer. Mm. Whether you're on an assembly line, putting a window or a car together, this is where, you know, the invention of management as we know it came about in the Industrial Revolution, where you have individuals now who are essentially quality control, making sure all that, none of that code, so to speak, has any bugs in it. And if it did, you know, right. If it does, there's a very black and white method to correct that. Well, schools were birthed in this era. So for decades, we've trained teachers to essentially be the AI tutor, be the computer with right. All the knowledge in their head. Now I need to disseminate that to my kids. And there's a very linear, very straightforward, black and white manner of doing that. And that goes completely against the grain of what it means to be human.
Yeah.
How do you see AI in particular helping to change that and in a sense, allowing humans to be more human and for school to be more experiential? Because I think there's this misconception that AI is just going to have kids staring at screens longer.
Right.
And what do we need teachers for? Because now the computer's taking over. So let's clear up some of those misconceptions.
Yeah. And I will say a couple of things about that, you know, just based on this recent experience is that it's exciting to me that a edtech company like this is trying to work with someone like me or someone like us and finding that balance, right? That their goal isn't for a student to be in front of the screen for, you know, multiple hours a day. And they've said this. The goal ultimately would be that a student could work through this for, you know, an hour, 90 minutes max a day, and the rest of the day should be dedicated to what matters. And those things matter to a lot of different, that matter are a variety of things when it comes to the families, right? We know that some families really value athletics, and if that's your jam, then you should be dedicating time to practicing and developing those skills in athletics. If you value the arts and the creative process, and that time should be spent doing that, versus the time right now that people believe AI is going to potentially take up is all due to the fact that they see this as, you know, potentially replacing teachers, right? And it's funny, and the reason I bring that up is when I first showed our second grade team the tool, the AI tutor, before I started working with their students, I made sure that they understood what I was doing and what I was presenting and what I would be experimenting with. One of the teachers was like, "Wow, you really do want to get rid of us, don't you?" And I'm just like, no, my answer to that is no, I want to free you up. I want to free you up to do the things that you're good at, that connecting with students, building relationships, you know, and making sure that they feel like they're connected and part of a community where they can explore their passions and explore their creativity and do the things that they're engaged with, versus the mind-numbing sometimes process of what we now know as school, right? So yeah, I think this is an important thing to note, is that this tool is going to allow a teacher to focus on those things that matter, focus on the valuable things that matter, and to be a part of the process of this, of developing what that looks like, of how are we using this tool, but how are we including a teacher's perspective and a teacher's capabilities in facilitating these opportunities for collaboration, for problem solving, has been a really neat process for me.
So you talk about math tutors. What about other subjects? Is there something in the works with Synthesis or any other ed tech companies that you're aware of that has the same experience when it comes to language development, science, history, the humanities? What do we know?
Yeah, I think it's very much in the early stages, right? And so I think they chose math because math seems, you know, like it's the most accessible and easy, for lack of a better term, to get into, right? But their plan is to, yeah, potentially offer a full curriculum of sorts, right? Of various subjects. They're very much about, they're one of the models that I've come across when it comes to Synthesis and how they're viewing this, this Synthesis tutor, is that they believe in the power of studying the past, but building the future. And there are things that need to be studied in the past that are relevant and that are important to understand, but we also need the opportunities to build towards that future, right? And this, again, is just going to allow us to free up the time to be able to build that future, or create the future, as we like to say here.
This is what we do here. So let's project just 5 years down the road. Yeah. Let's just say 5 to 10. With the advancement of these tools, these AI tutors, not just with math, but all the subjects, it's going to be here. It's inevitable. You can't stop it. You can't slow it down. Yeah. You need to study it, learn it, embrace it, figure out how that impacts the rest of what we've always done. What does the school day look like? Let's assume all of these technologies are up and running. The curriculum's all there. What does the ideal school day now look like?
I mean, my imagination goes wild in thinking.
Well, let's open it up.
Right?
Let's get into it.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there's, you know, an opportunity for us to really look at the school day as an opportunity for students to really, you know, realize those passions, right? We're all about passions realized. And I think this would open that up so much wider, you know, and free us up to be able to seek out those passions and have students experience a variety of things to be able to find that passion, right?
How? Why? Why would that give them more time?
I think more so than anything is that the conceptual understanding that they'll gain from what these tutors will provide will allow them to focus on those things. They'll get what they need academically, right? But now it becomes, what are you going to become as a person? What kind of person do you want to be, and what kind of areas do you want to pursue that are going to almost, you're going to find your identity in those things, right? You're going to find your community in those things. And I really think that this is a neat opportunity for us to think of, how can a student be in an environment where their interests and the things that they're excited about, they're given permission to pursue, they're given permission to spend a lot of time on, and in addition to that, given guidance from adults around campus.
Because the reality is, every kid's different.
Yep.
They learn different ways, they learn at a different pace, and it seems like these tutors will be able to have both collaborative experiences where a group of students, whether that be an entire class, a small cohort, are engaging, collaborating around a certain math concept or you know, building language or reading a story together. But then that practice part, making sure that skill is understood and becomes ingrained, will be able to be personalized.
Yeah.
Right? You know, think of ST Math, and any parents who are listening to this whose kids work on ST Math, you know, it meets them where they are. They have their own journeys.
That's right.
Well, that should be the case with every concept, right? And so it seems like the day would be much more efficient. A kid gets what they need when they need it in a manner that meets them where they are. Think about a traditional school day. What, 6-7 hours? Mm-hmm. Think of the amount of time spent transitioning whole groups. Think of the time spent teachers having to pause the lesson because this student or that student or this student is not engaged or misbehaving or distracting. Think of all the time spent lining up, and then we're going to transition to here, and we're going to transition to here as we try to do this one size fits all approach to the day. Okay, you totally flip the script here. Every kid has their own tutor for all these subjects. It seems to me that you could spend just a fraction of the day engaging with these concepts. Let's just say in a 6-hour school day, maybe 90 minutes, a couple hours a day max, and that can be spread out. Well, what do you do with the rest of the time? Man, you start making stuff. You start making an impact on the community. And it seems to me that our academic framework is set up beautifully to absorb this transition where you have the new learning. They're going to learn new things. These AI tutors will teach them, present them new concepts. They'll have a personalized practice pathway to develop that either on campus or maybe at home. And then you got the project-based learning.
Yeah.
And this is where the teachers are really highly valued. So let's talk for a second about the need for human teachers when it comes to project-based learning.
Yeah, and I think that's what I was alluding to when I said, you know, there would be adults here to be able to guide students, right? That's ultimately what this is about, is a teacher would then become the facilitator of these project units. The necessary, I think, structure to that, to be able to give students the experience of building something that has meaning, that has value, that they see the application of that new learning being had. But in addition to that, also managing those experiences of collaboration and communication. The practice bit, I think, is an interesting piece for me when it comes to our academic framework and how we're set up for this, right? Is that I see the practice bit a little bit of also kind of those collaborative tasks, right? That I was working with those second graders. They got the new learning from the lesson, right? They hopefully took something away from that lesson on the synthesis tutor. And then they come and apply it and practice it in a setting that would, again, allow them to practice that communication and that collaboration. And I think that's so important that there's a little bit of blurred lines between what the new learning and practice looks like. Project-based learning, yes, will be the bulk of what a day would be focused on. And that's really exciting for them to really build the future and create the future, is getting their hands dirty and building things.
Solving real world problems, mm-hmm. right? What's the difference between solving problems and creating problems?
Mm-hmm.
And why are they both necessary for kids to experience?
Yeah, I think one thing about all of the technological changes that are happening is, right, people see it as we're creating more problems because, like, to your point, they're going to be in front of screens more, they're going to be, and all these things. Well, I think we need to view this from a different perspective, that we're solving the problem that they aren't engaged, they aren't being met where they need to be when addressing their needs. And so when it comes to working with students, I think this is a prime opportunity to look at it from the lens of how are we solving problems throughout the day at a school day. And I think this is a great opportunity for us to do that. From the student perspective, I think they need to see problems as just that, as we can figure these things out and we are capable. We can be taken seriously when we're presented problems, whether it's community problems, whether, you know, whatever kind of problem you see, we can figure this out. But on the flip side, what problems do you see that you see solutions for? And how are we setting you up to be able to identify those things and think about them in a solution-based manner, right? In a problem-solving manner. Where can we set students up for success in being able to think strategically that way?
So what does all this mean? AI, 7-year-olds, teachers, school, where's this going? Let's just kind of summarize the discussion here and wrap it up.
I think it comes back to, what do we value, right? What do we value when it comes to developing the next generation and the skills that they need? I came across a quote the other day in a blog post by Patrick Ryan. It says, "The part of you that feels things, joy, pain, love, humor, sadness, anger, is a key input in your ability to innovate. Will become increasingly valuable in a world that is saturated with data and sameness. In fact, the magic, when combined with AI, has the potential to unleash creativity and variety at never before seen scales." And so this makes me think of, how are we using this as a tool to elevate the things that we value in the development of students? Let's use this tool to elevate those things that matter and continue to build towards creating the future. That's where I'm seeing this, and I'm really excited about.
Sameness. It's true. School has always been about kind of molding every individual into this same desired output, like the graduate, right? They've all checked the same boxes. They've all gone through the same path. Yay, let's celebrate that. Not that there's anything wrong with having collective standards, that's important, but gosh, it has really squeezed out any room for individuality, minus the extracurriculars, the things that are seen as extra. Well, it's like, well, why isn't that our main focus, right? And then the secondary approach is to make sure that these kind of collective standards are, students are exposed to and are able to, master those skills. But yeah, when you really think about it, we've slowly become a society that does value sameness. There's that saying that I just kind of chuckle at every time I hear it, where schools for the most part are all about, trying to be like everybody else, but only better.
Yeah.
It's like, what does that even mean? Like, right. We're one of one here. We've got one unique community, unique individuals, teachers, parents, students. Let's leverage that uniqueness and put new technologies to work to free up capacity to be more individualized and to pursue real world problems and things that matter to us. So I think that's interesting in that quote. It's really true. It will become increasingly valuable in a world that is saturated with data and sameness.
Yeah, I think everybody claims they want to be unique and different, but in reality, you end up becoming, just like everybody else, but you're trying to be better than everybody else, right?
School teaches you the same thing,
And so, yeah, what an amazing opportunity to be able to really say who we are, right? Is that we are different because we see this as a different, opportunity. And that's awesome. I think this is going to be a really, really neat next 5 years.
Yeah. Well, we will definitely connect again as we explore these different tools and learn as we go. But I feel, again, we're really set up as a school here to embrace and leverage this new technology in a way that allows the new things to be better, right? Technology will make old things easier, but it should make new things better. What those new things are, gosh, it's going to be fun to explore and figure that out together. Claudio, I appreciate your time today.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, thanks for having me.